For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, for ever and ever. Amen.
Great, thanks, Jill. Do keep that open. Those who have young children, I don't know what your favourite book is for young children. It's funny how as adults we quite enjoy the children's books as well, don't we? I quite like the Julia Donaldson books. I think my favourite was Rabbit's Day Off. Have you ever seen Rabbit's Day Off? Anyone want to tell us what their favourite children's book is? John?
The Enchanted Wood.
The Enchanted Wood. I've heard the Gruffalo here, that's a great one. Charlie the Chocolate Factory. I don't know if you've come across this one. Guess How Much I Love You. It's about two hares. That is like rabbits, not the things on your head. And they're big nut brown hare. And you'll never guess what the other one's called. Little nut brown hare. And big nut brown hare and little nut brown hare are trying to tell each other how much they love each other. And little nut brown hare says, I love you this much. And as the name suggests, he's quite little. And big nut brown hare says, I love you this much. Big nut brown hare is bigger. And little nut brown hare says, I love you as high as I can reach. And big nut brown hare says, well, I love you as high as I can reach. And it goes on like that through the book until just before he drifts off to sleep, little nut brown hare says, I love you, right up to the moon. Well, how'd you beat that? Big nut brown hare settles him down, kisses him goodnight, lets him drift off to sleep, and then whispers, I love you, right up to the moon and back. And it's a powerful story, isn't it? Because whether we're 3 or 93, whether we're male or female, we all want to be loved completely. We want to feel secure in being loved. And the idea of width and height speaks powerfully of an immense, unbreakable, secure love. We might say it speaks of dimensions of love that are without limit. And it's a thing that we all long for, if we're honest. And that's exactly the way the Bible writer speaks about the love of Jesus Christ in that reading. So have a look at verse 17, top of page 1175 on the left, or alternatively on the screen. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. The person who's writing, Paul, who was appointed by God to take the good news of Jesus to the known world, is saying that Christ's love stretches not just that far, not just that high, not even just to the moon and back. His love stretches beyond the universe to infinity. Now, if that's true, and I believe it is, then don't you want to know that love? Don't you want to be caught up in it, to be enveloped by it, to enjoy it forever? And it's worth saying up front that this can be true of any one of us here today. Whatever we've done in the past, whatever view of God or ourselves we had as we came in to the room, this is a prayer that we would know Christ's love. And anyone can come to know Christ's love. And as we do, and as we believe his love is for us, and as we love him in response, so this is true of us. So there's one basic point today. Christ's love is without limit. Rejoice and know him better. I want you to have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. But this raises lots of questions, doesn't it? And each of us will be asking at least one of them. Some of us may be asking all of the ones that I'm going to mention, and maybe some others that I haven't even thought of. So we're going to spend the rest of our time looking at a few questions and thinking about how this can be true, so that hopefully by the end we'll be able to say, Christ's love is without limit. I want to rejoice and to know him better. So first question, what has Jesus Christ got to do with love? Because let's face it, Christianity doesn't have a good reputation in all quarters today, does it? Christians don't have a good reputation. Lots of people see Christians as self-righteous, hypocritical, unloving. There's been stuff in the news recently that's reinforced those ideas. So what's Jesus got to do with love? Well, it's worth remembering that the media always presents the bad news and never presents the good news. It's also worth remembering that Christians aren't always the best advert for Christianity. We try to follow Jesus and live like him, but too often we don't. But Jesus, he's in a different level altogether. And we need to ask the question, what is love anyway? If you went out on the street and asked that question to 20 people, you'd get 20 different answers. Valentine's Day is 2 days away. You might get people saying, well, it's a romantic relationship. You might get people saying, well, it's just accepting someone, whoever they are, whatever they've done, and so on. You might get, it's two people being together. We might talk about love in those ways, but the Bible's very specific when it talks about love. And the word for love in this verse is the word agape, which means self-giving, self-sacrificing for the benefit of another. It's a beautiful word. We heard earlier that verse, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his son. Self-giving for the benefit of another. That's the kind of love that's in view. Well, how has Christ shown his love for me? Because let's face it, a lot of the time we don't feel loved by God, do we? Bad stuff happens, life is hard. The cloud from what happened at Anlaby School is still hanging over the community. And the things we long for sometimes don't work out, and relationships sometimes don't work out. God can feel distant, like he's abandoned us. How has Christ shown his love for me? Well, I think Paul uses these ideas of width and length and height and depth quite deliberately, because if you've been with us for the last few weeks, you'll know from Ephesians chapter 2 that he's shown us the dimensions of Christ's love. So in the first half of chapter 2, he shows the depth from which Christ has brought Christians. And he shows the height to which in his love he's lifted Christians, those who trust and love him. So he says, you were dead spiritually in your sins, chapter 2 verse 1, back on the previous page, I think. Yeah, page 1173. You were dead in your transgressions and sins, that is, the things we've done against God and other people. And the result of that, verse 3, onto page 1174, was that we were deserving of wrath, God's right anger against our God-belittling, self-exalting ways. But, verse 4, again, top of page 1174, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So this is the height of the love of Christ. For whoever believes it and loves him for it, he has already brought us from the gutter to the throne room. And in the second half of chapter 2, the writer shows the width and the length of Christ's love. So he shows how God took different groups, groups who were separated from each other by all kinds of divisions, and we live in a divided world, don't we? We're aware of it today. And how God brought them together. How did he do it? Verse 13, halfway down the left-hand column, page 1174. Now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. It was through the self-giving, self-sacrificing death of Jesus on the cross on Good Friday that he brought together divided groups and he reconciled them to God. So that for whoever believes in him, they've been brought from the gutter to the throne room, from far away to the very presence of God. And that can be true of anyone here today. All we need to do is believe his love is for us and love him in response. How's Christ shown his love for me? Well, whatever I'm going through at the moment, however I feel, I can look at the cross and I can see Jesus's self-giving love for me. This is one of my favorite Bible verses. God shows his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When I feel God doesn't love me, I can remember that when I was far from God, Jesus died for me. Third question, how can I experience Christ's love? Because there might be some people here thinking, well, that's all very well, Steve, but it doesn't. It all sounds very intellectual, like all that matters is my brain. I want to feel it. I want to experience Christ's love. And the great news is that Christ wants us to experience Christ's love as well. So look at verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. What's your inner being? I don't know if you asked that question as we were reading through. What's your heart? Well, both things go deeper than the mind. They go deeper than the emotions, how we feel. They go to the very center of who we are. Paul's praying that at the very core of our being, at the fountain, if you like, the source of everything within us, we'll be more and more aware of Christ's love. And that'll result, yes, in our minds knowing more how wonderful Christ is. It'll result in our emotions rejoicing in how wonderful Christ is. And our wills responding with appropriate actions. And that's what we'll see in the second half of the letter. So you see, this is a prayer that all of our being, our mind, our emotions, our wills, will be filled with the wonder of Christ's love. So how can I experience Christ's love? Well, by praying for it. Praying that he'd help me to see beyond my current circumstances. Praying he'd help me see beyond the relationship difficulty or the cloud hanging over the community or whatever it is. Praying that he'd help me to see his love revealed primarily at the cross. And flowing out from that to see his love at work today. And he will answer the prayer. Humanly speaking, I've had a pretty rubbish 3 weeks. Bad stuff just keeps happening. And I know there are others who feel that way as well. And yet, I've been filled with joy in the Lord through it all. Doesn't always happen. Sometimes I'm just depressed. But feelings come and go. And I'm not less of a Christian when I don't feel filled with joy in the Lord. And he can work out his good purposes even when I don't feel good. But it is possible to rejoice in Christ's love even in the darkest times. So ask him, pray this prayer and see what happens. And there are different aids we can use. They've been called the means of grace, ways in which we experience God's grace. Reading the Bible, hearing of God's love in it, meeting with God's people, receiving bread and wine in communion. We're not doing that today, we do it some weeks. Singing God's praises. We're made worshipping, singing beings, aren't we? sometimes when I'm down in the dumps or tempted in some way, I'll pick up my guitar. You'll be very glad you're not there, won't you? And sing a Christian song. And God lifts my gaze beyond the here and now. Meditating on Scripture. It's great to memorize and think about verses of Scripture that speak of Christ's love and just chew over them. And I've got here a book which I read a few years ago and come back to regularly, which I love. It's called The Glories of God's Love. And it basically takes you through the gospel and why it's important to think about the gospel and gives you Bible verses to help you memorize it. And I've got a copy for anyone who would like one, completely free of charge. So I'll give them out afterwards, as long as you promise to use it and to rejoice in the glories of God's love through it. Finally, how can I grow in my faith? We all want to grow in our faith, don't we? We all want to move on, to advance. And this is the right place to look, because this is the linchpin, along with the beginning of chapter 4, in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Paul's saying this is what's needed to move from what God has been doing, chapters 1 to 3, to what God is doing and is going to do, chapters 4 to 6. This is how, being a Christian, I can move forward as a Christian. And the answer might surprise us, because what is needed is what Paul prays for, is what we're to pray for, is to know Christ's love better at the very core of our being. Verse 16 again, I pray that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and established in love, may grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And he goes on to rejoice in the power of God, the power which is infinite, the power which created the galaxies and which could make the whole of whole Christian just like that if he wanted to. As we know Christ's love better in the core of our being, so we are filled to the fullness of God. We become more like Christ. His purposes are fulfilled, and God is working. He will work. It's how he's chosen to work. As we pray that we would know his love, so we are changed. So how can I grow in my faith? We've been as a family a couple of times to Centre Parks. Put up your hand if you've been to Centre Parks. A few of us. If you don't know Centre Parks, it's a holiday park in the middle of a forest. There's a few of them around the country. You stay in your own accommodation. There's loads of activities laid on around the site. The thing is, everything costs a fortune except for the swimming pool. There's the swimming pool at one of the sites. So you guessed it, when we go to Centre Parks, we spend the whole day in the swimming pool. We wallow in the waves, we enjoy the slides, we get carried away in the rapids. And I think that's quite a good picture of what Paul's saying here, not to go to Centre Parks, but to wallow in, to rejoice in, to enjoy Christ's love. To spend the day there, if you like. To get carried away, enjoying his love. To take time, having our identity formed by knowing his infinite love. Wallow, says Paul, and you will grow. So let's pray that for each other. That we would. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love of Christ. We thank you that it is infinite. And we have just begun to grasp how glorious and wonderful it is. And yet, as we grasp it, we are secure and we grow. And so we pray that we would grasp it more and more in the very core of our being, so that we rejoice in it in our minds and we rejoice in it in our hearts and we live it out in our lives. And help us to keep praying it for each other. Amen.